Sunday school, continuing on with some of the Dimensions of the Faith courses. This will be our third one that we'll be starting. This is going to be the New Testament Survey 1. As far as the lecture materials, or for those who aren't familiar with the Dimensions of the Faith program, it's essentially a free series of courses available online through Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. And essentially, it's a program you can, if you wanted to join and participate in the actual program itself and do the additional courses as well, you can certainly easily find it online. Just do a search for Dimensions of the Faith. You just sign up for an account and do those sorts of things. I won't go through that in a lot of detail. If you have interest or have questions on that, please come see me if you need anything that way. For our purposes, we'll be doing, obviously, a New Testament Survey 1. And there's actually two versions of the same subject. We'll be doing the newer version. Primarily, although I will be pulling in here and there some of the content from the previous survey course. I feel like in certain points I preferred the other professor a little bit more. But that being said, if you have the ability or want to, you can certainly listen to the content directly online. The lectures are all available for free. Download them and save them on your computer. You can listen to them directly online. Any of you that are into iTunes, their courses are available through iTunes University. So there's all kinds of ways you can get the content. The other way is I've made at least a couple of CDs here, and if you're interested, they're essentially, it's all the lectures of this particular New Testament Survey 1. So, yeah, like I say, if you have no interest in trying to search these materials out, please just see me, and I can get you the CD. Any questions on that as far as materials? Okay. So for today, what I thought would make some sense is actually just to literally play the first lecture for you. This particular survey course is in total 19 lectures. So we'll cover one today, and then we'll, as we go through the course, we'll be covering about two lectures a week will be the planned pace. And the lectures are anywhere from, they can be as little as 30 minutes up to 50, 55 minutes. So today, the lecture is actually, it's an introductory lecture. It's only 20 minutes, so I thought it would make some sense to, rather than either just cover it and have you listen to it during the week, just play it. Certainly, if you have things that come up immediately, certainly we can address it immediately, or we can just comment quickly at the end. So hopefully I can get the audio probably won't be the best in the world.
Welcome you to the Dimensions of the Faith program of Biblical
and... Can everyone hear that in the back?
Good. Sponsored by the Akige Institute at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. In the following study, you will have the opportunity to expand the horizons of your knowledge of God and His Word by taking a closer look at core biblical concepts. It is our hope and prayer that the dimensions of your faith will be stretched and strengthened in exciting ways. Please be reminded that this lecture is copyrighted by the Akige Institute and Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. No part of this material may be reproduced in any way without written permission. The lecturer holds exclusive publication rights. The following segment is Lecture 1 of New Testament Survey 1, Christ and His Church, recorded live. Dr. Sean McDonough. The study is called Why Study the New Testament, and will help you understand the political, social, and cultural background of the New Testament gospel. today's lecture will be focusing on introductory matters. But before we get into that, I'd like to open with a word of prayer, so let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for making the whole world and everything in it. And we particularly thank you today for your word, which has been preserved and collected for us for our edification. So we pray as we think together over the next several hours about the New Testament, that you might give us insight to understand it, to appreciate it, to love it, and to obey and believe what's written there. We know that apart from you, we can do nothing. And so we pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit to be with us, that we might understand you better and love you more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin our lectures, the first question I think we need to address that will be on, I think, many people's minds is, why do we have academic study of the New Testament anyway? We're often taught in churches to have a desire to have the Bible wash over us, to inspire us, to help us make it through another day. And so the question arises, why make it academic? Which can be sometimes translated, why make it boring, dry, a mere academic exercise, rather than hearing it as God's living word? I think there are a few things to be said in response to that as we begin our survey of the New Testament. First one is that eventually the approach of having the New Testament simply wash over you runs dry after a while. That just like the drug addicts looking for a new fix, eventually God's word is not simply going to move you in the same emotional way it did maybe when you were 19 years old or just been through a life crisis. And so while there seem to be short-term losses to academic study of the Bible, I think you'll find that there are long-term gains. Secondly, and I think more profoundly, however, the approach of just letting God's word as where it hits you in a random kind of a fashion ultimately affects God's communication. Some of it's inspirational, particularly in the Psalms or some of the gospel stories, but some of it, for example, is instructional. It gives you lessons in how to live your life. We can make a comparison. You don't let a power saw manual wash over you for its devotional content. You carefully read what it says. They don't saw your arm off or any other appendage. You read what it says and you do it step by step. In the same way, much of the Bible is not quote unquote inspirational, but instructional. Some of it is going to tell us the history of people other than ourselves, doing things that we might never be tempted to do or in fact never in a position to do. And yet God has put it in there, all of it in there, for our general edification. Not simply our emotional inspiration, but for making us complete people of God. And so I think at the end of the day, we do want the word to inspire us. We do want to have a deep personal devotion and commitment to God's word. But I think it's perfectly appropriate as we grow, not only spiritually, but intellectually, to also integrate that personal devotion with more academic study. Richard Bauckham, a well-known New Testament scholar at the University of St. Andrews, is, I think, given a very fitting analogy to how we can combine personal devotion, a personal commitment to the text, and the more scholarly study that we'll be undertaking in this course. Bauckham writes in his book on James, quote, "The difference which situating historical and literary methods within a hermeneutic of personal engagement makes will be like the difference between learning the life story of someone one loves and learning the life story of someone one has never met in order to write a biographical dictionary entry." And I think the idea of that personal commitment of a personal relationship is a very fitting one. That when you meet a girl or a guy, you're attracted to them, you go on the first date, and just the general ambiance is very positive, and wouldn't it seem strange if the person in question were to begin to say, well, can I tell you a little bit about myself? And he said, no, no, don't cloud this over with that. I just want to have you washed all over me. I don't want historical information to know about your family or your interests or why you dress the way you do. I just want to be with you. Now, maybe that might get you through one day, just being in that ambiance of this attractive other person. But over the long haul, you better, for your own sake and your own sanity, if nothing else, get a little bit more concrete information. And of course, that information is not divorced from your interest in the person. It's not a bonus or an addendum. It's integral to really knowing the person you're quote-unquote falling in love with. And in precisely the same way, it is good to be, as it were, attracted by the general promises and blessings and ambiance of God's Word. That's a good thing. But to really know God's Word, you need to develop a taste, develop an appetite for the historical background, the cultural background, the literary arrangements of the text. Because all of these things will contribute to a deeper understanding of what the New Testament is talking about. In precisely the same way that your knowledge about your future fiancé, perhaps, will contribute to their knowledge of them. So I think academic study of the New Testament in short is a very valuable addition to your spiritual life, not something that's off to the side, still less some kind of detriment to your spiritual growth. I want to have one other point to make up front before we get into the details. And that is to let you know right at the beginning what the New Testament is all about. We're going to cover a lot of ground, but I want to begin where we're going to end up. And that's telling you in three words what is the heart of the New Testament. What is it essentially that we're going to be studying about in looking at these doctrines? And the three words are very simple. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Paraphrased Linus in Charlie Brown Christmas. That's what the New Testament is all about. Jesus is Lord. This was the simplest early Christian confession. And it really does hold the entire New Testament within itself. It needs to be unpacked and reiterated and seen in different ways, but essentially the message doesn't change. Jesus is Lord. First of all, that early Christian confession identifies Jesus as the key figure in history. It really is the case that the humble Galilean teacher is in fact the crux of the life of the world. Everything hinges on Jesus. Of course, in the Gospels, we have a fourfold portrait of this man, Jesus. Secondly, the New Testament identifies Jesus with the God of the Bible. God's purposes are fulfilled in Jesus. He is the promised Messiah. He's the one who will undo the wrongs of humanity and bring in the blessings of the new creation. God's character, in particular, his love, are fully revealed in Jesus, so that at the end of the day, we discover that Jesus is who God is. Jesus is Lord. And so whether it's Paul, or James, or John, or Peter, all the New Testament writers are simply bringing out the implications of this little phrase, Jesus is Lord, for their people in their particular situations in Corinth or Rome or wherever they may have happened to be. They're asking the question, what has Jesus accomplished? What does he have in store for the future? How does one live in light of the truths he taught and the truths he showed so clearly in his life? That's the essence of the New Testament. Jesus is Lord. Now, if that's true, you believe it is. It's true that Jesus is Lord. Historically and theologically, from the reading of the New Testament, is absolutely necessary. Because Jesus lived in our world. He addressed real people with real concerns. And if we don't understand that, we won't understand that. He wasn't living in a flannel graph universe. He wasn't living up in heaven with angelic spirits. He was living in Palestine of the first century, particular technological angles to it, particular geographical angles, particular big angles, all of that contribute to who Jesus in the flesh was. And therefore, if we want to understand him, we have to have some understanding of that background. It's like being a missionary. To read the Bible, you have to have the same expertise in cross-cultural communication, or at least cross-cultural understanding, that a missionary has. They go into a different cultural and linguistic context. And it's always hard. You talk to veteran missionaries, often the hardest thing of all for them was the 2 years or 3 years of language school, followed by perhaps a decade or more of bumbling along with local languages and customs. And yet, that's the way to be a good missionary, is to really immerse yourself in their understanding, not to jump ahead and assume that the way you initially interpret signs and signals in their culture must be correct, because that's how you react initially. Now, that's the way to be a bad missionary. And it's a way to be a bad New Testament student as well, to assume that whatever your initial reaction to a given text is, that must be the way it was intended in the first century. Of course, often enough, your initial reaction will be correct. If Jesus is shown doing a miracle, you respond with amazement. That's basically the correct response. But there are other layers of meaning and significance which will only emerge when you listen carefully to the original content of the New Testament. So historically, theologically informed reading of the New Testament is absolutely necessary. But if it's true that Jesus is in fact Lord, it's also the case that we have to be personally engaged with New Testament. There may be those out there who desire a purely objective New Testament survey that would not to interject faith or commitment into the discussion. But just tell me the historically verifiable facts and approaches in current scholarship. Now, I suppose that's a legitimate undertaking, but my perspective is, if Jesus is truly Lord, then that kind of a detached approach to the scriptures is more than a little bit ludicrous. And so my point of departure in this course will be that whatever we encounter in the text, we need to be willing to lay ourselves bare before it and truly hear the New Testament as God's word. We need to be willing to understand it, read it, to obey it. In sum, I have zero interest in academic study of the New Testament for its own sake. It's sort of an antiquarian zero interest in it. But I have a tremendous interest in academic study of the New Testament as a means of better understanding God and better understanding how we should respond to Him. And that's what I want to have us all achieve in this course, is a deeper understanding, not for its own sake, still less, not to exalt ourselves that we know more now than than other people, but rather to know more so that we love more, to know more so that we obey more. Well, how are we going to accomplish that? This gives us an opportunity to segue to the syllabus and an overview of the course. The assessment breakdown is written there. As for the reading, we're essentially accomplishing a few things there. First of all, some of the readings will be giving you a broad overview of the details of the background, history, etc., of the different New Testament documents. This is essential because at the heart of this course are simply two things. First of all, we want to orient you to the New Testament to help you understand how to approach it. And secondly, to the extent possible, we want to expose you to as much content of the New Testament as possible. And we'll talk about that again in a few moments. So, some of the reading will be designed to introduce you to the content. Some will be a little bit more methodological. How do you go about reading the New Testament? We pick up all sorts of reading strategies from the church, Sunday school, the broader culture, and not all are helpful. And so in the reading, I think we'll be getting what I think are some better reading strategies, better ways of approaching the New Testament. Of course, the most important reading of all will be the New Testament itself. Don't forget to do that. The overview we'll be having is fairly straightforward. After going through some initial questions of how we got our New Testament, and then the cultural, historical background against which the New Testament is written, we will simply be essentially going through the New Testament book by book. As I mentioned, content will be key. There is no substitute for knowing what's in your Bible, for knowing what's in the New Testament. And so, simply rehearsing the information, testing you on the information, giving you outlines and themes and all those other things from the New Testament books will be central to what we're all about. The lectures will be designed to orient you to the material. One tip I would give each one of you is that it's important to read the relevant passages in the lecture before or during the relevant lecture. Now, if you're listening to this in the car, I wouldn't recommend reading while you're driving. I won't be responsible for any fatalities in that regard. But it will be important to have the text, as I said, either pre-read or to have it in front of you as we go through the Gospel of Mark or the letter of Romans. It'll just help you to follow things.
Please be reminded that this lecture is copyrighted by the Offingay Institute. And
I think this was an official course, and I think they had a syllabus of additional reading materials. You could probably put it together based on they have basically a study sheet with each of the lectures, and they have additional reading materials. That's probably if not all of those, probably a subset of those. Anyone have any comments on that in general? His point about the heart of the New Testament, if you boil it down into three words, Jesus is Lord. Does that do you think that's sufficient? Do you think that's
I still think of that Jim Jordan sermon that I don't know if people remember. Did it and he showed us how everything that happened in John was directed by Christ. And, you know, so in that, yes, and even when Paul, on the road to Damascus, he learned that Jesus is Lord. You know, it is throughout the New Testament. So.
I tend to agree. And maybe this is my own thing. When I had first listened to it, it kind of struck me as sort of minimalistic or concern about that. But as you say, I think what his point there is, if that statement contains a lot, and it certainly gets unpacked much further throughout the New Testament. I would say I don't think that you can talk about the New Testament without talking about the kingdom either. And one argument that you could say is that Lord of what? You'd have to be Lord of a kingdom, so the kingdom is in there. You can definitely see that, but I think particularly nowadays, I would tend to almost want to have that almost in there directly if you want the New Testament. Jesus is Lord and his kingdom is at hand. You know, Jesus came into the world and established his kingdom. And I really appreciated his discussion, regarding why do we bother studying scripture. He's talking specifically, I think it applies in general to all of scripture. I liked his refuting of, you know, this notion of letting scripture wash over you. There is an aspect of that is beneficial, and we get that, I think, every Sunday. And I think back of when Pastor Clark began instructing and saying, when the word's being read in Sunday worship service, that's not really the time to have your Bibles open and listen. You just listen for it. So it's not to say that there's no benefit to hearing the word and letting it impact you directly that way. But as he says, if that's all you rely on, if that's all you, just that, whatever that surface emotional raw reaction to the word is going to be, that it's ultimately, and I like his phrasing there, disrespectful to the word. And as he said, you know, it's the other flip side of that coin, and I think he covered it well. There's also the approach where you take it to the other extreme, where it's nothing but academic study. It's nothing but sort of attempting or thinking you're coming to it with a completely objective point of view, and I'm only looking at it and going to interpret and evaluate merely based on historical facts that I can verify and those sorts of things. I mean, there's certainly a risk that way. And that's where the balanced approach comes into play. Any other comments on that first lecture? With that, I think I'll close with just a, I meant to say it before we got started, but this Survey 1 course will cover the four Gospels and the Book of Acts through these series of lectures. And I would certainly, I'd highly encourage you to participate in listening to the lectures. I think they'll be very helpful. I'll use those as kind of a, you know, the outline of the course, obviously, and summarize most of the main points, at least. I think it would be helpful for discussion and those sorts of things if you listen. But even if you don't listen to the lectures, I think it would be extremely beneficial to read through each of the Gospels and the Book of Acts particularly as we, you know, we'll cover in the first three or four lectures anyway, more kind of the background historically, and also some of the cultural backgrounds and things, how the canon came together, those sorts of topics, and then we'll start going into the Gospels themselves. I think if you've read through them, and if you can even do it in one sitting, so you read through it from beginning to end, if you have the ability to do that, I think that would be really beneficial, because I think that will help, particularly as we go through the Gospels, get a much better appreciation of the whole story of the Gospel, how each of the Gospels present Jesus in a different way. I think that would be really helpful for our discussion. So with that, I'll close in a word of prayer and dismiss. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for thy word. We're thankful for the opportunities that we have and the resources that we have to study it and to learn more fully what it is that you would have us to do in our lives. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless our study of the New Testament in the coming weeks and months ahead. Father, that we might grow in faith and understanding of thee, and most importantly, that we would apply what we learn into our lives day by day, that we might seek first your kingdom and establish it and work to advance it throughout the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.